Welcome, everybody. Mr. Gans?
Present.
Mr. Bird?
Present.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. Tom?
Here.
Ms. Chabak?
Here.
And Ms. Erickson? She's absent. She didn't know she was not coming. And we have a forum.
Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is approval of legal action report of October 15th, 2019 meeting. We had those minutes put ahead. John has submitted some corrections to staff. Does anyone else have any corrections?
Do you want us to go over those couple corrections?
Sure.
For the record, just generally, or?
The highlights, the parking is based upon unit number, not bedrooms.
Why don't you let staff go over?
Fine.
Thanks.
So just the highlighted pieces, right?
Yeah.
So the first one, on item number two, you have unanimously highlighted. So the motion was passed unanimously.
There's no such thing as unanimous unless the entire board is present.
Okay, so you want the 4-4-0 vote?
Yeah.
Next, on item four, looks like you wanted to include OCR, what, OCR one? Okay, so based on OCR one zoning?
In addition to that.
In addition, okay, so we'll make that correction. And then, still under item four, during the discussion of the review of Partners on the Fourth project, there's some corrections. Stevens Street was Stevens Avenue was mistakenly called Stevens Street, so there's a correction there. Parking count needs to be verified based on residential units, not number of rooms. A typo on tenants.
Yeah, it has to be plural.
Plural instead of singular. How will tenant behavior be monitored to ensure that balconies and pool deck was left out, are not misused? And then lastly, pedestrian lightings and awnings or trees and landscaping on Stevens will make for a safer and more comfortable pedestrian experience.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you.
Motion to approve as amended.
A second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next on the agenda is item IID-19-06, 127 South 5th, 111 and 127 South 5th Avenue, which is T19SA00132 and DP19-0122. It's a public meeting. We'll start off with preliminary staff remarks.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the DRC. Before I do the staff remarks, I would like us to welcome Mr. Eric Barrett. Just a few minutes ago, he was designated by the city manager's office as our new DRC member.
Great. Welcome.
Thank you. I would like to recuse myself because I'm on this project.
But you're not sworn in yet.
Not sworn in yet, but yes. So.
Doesn't count.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
So when members come to recuse themselves and forgive me for my lack of knowledge, are they supposed to step out of the room or can they stay?
He's not officially sworn in.
Yeah.
He's just a member of the audience.
Okay. Okay, so we're fine. Okay, perfect. So Mr. Chair, this is an IID project to be developed two pieces of property in the Armory Park Historic District. The applicant is proposing to demolish the existing building on the two parcels to build a new seven-story building with 96 apartment units, of which 48 are studios and 48 are one-bedroom units. He's also proposing surface parking and a roof deck. The structure includes a two-story wing on the south side of the site. The applicant is requesting the DRC to recommend approval to the Planning and Development Services Director the following UDC modifications. One is the motor vehicle parking. The applicant is proposing a total of 50 parking spaces. The requirement is 96 spaces. The IV section 5.12.8.E allows for a reduction of required parking. And an IPP is required, which the applicant got approved back in July to allow for the 50 parking spaces with one condition. The condition reads, any proposed dedicated rideshare parking space in the right-of-way is subject to the approval of the Tucson Department of Transportation. This second UDC modification is related to solid waste. The applicant is proposing a compactor unit to compact and store refuse and recycling materials within an enclosure along Herbert Avenue. There are two cubic yard bins that will be rolled out onto Herbert Avenue, and you know, at the time they're scheduled to be picked up. The Department of Environmental and General Services has approved the proposal, and Iski, the reviewer, was just asking the applicant to dimension the solid waste facilities to make sure everything's going to fit. And the third item is the reduction to the parking area access lane width. The PAL, the project is proposing a 22-foot wide PAL. The minimum required is 24 feet. The design professional have reviewed the project on September 4 and have recommended approval. Also, I have to mention the applicant took this project to the Historic Plan Review Subcommittee a couple of weeks ago or so, and they voted 2-2. So the application moves forward with no recommendation from the Plan Review Subcommittee. So I ask Jody Brown, our Historic Preservation Officer, to be here to help answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Thank you. Next on agenda is the project presentation by the applicant.
Thomas, you can just use it.
Okay. And please state your name.
I will. Okay, thank you. My name is Thomas Sailor Brown. I'm with SBBL Architecture Planners here in town. We're the architects on the project. I'm going to start by letting you know I'm at a big disadvantage here. I have cataracts, so now I have to wear glasses. I can't see to read if I have my glasses on. So if I can read, I can't see the screen. So I'm going to be having a little difficulty here. And I can't see if you make any bad faces at me. But I can feel it.
We'll interpret the screen for you.
This is being recorded.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a location map showing our project. This is Broadway, 12th Street, 5th Avenue, and Herbert Avenue. Landmark buildings along here, the AC Hotel, the Cadence apartment building, Herbert House is a high-rise apartment building, of course, the Armory part of the neighborhood. And I'll talk about all the other buildings eventually. So which one I push this one?
I'll come present.
Yeah, thank you. Too fast. So this is the zoning map. This is our site right here at C3. It allows for up to 75-foot building height. South of us is a C1 zone. We have C3 on the other three sides, OCR2, which allows up to 300 feet to the north of us, and then Armory Park is the HO3 zone. So this is the contributing properties map. Building that we are going to be removing is not a contributing property. It's not eligible. We are surrounded by some eligible buildings and ineligible buildings. We have a historically certified building here, and we have some contributing properties to the south of us. Armory Park, of course, is all contributing property. This is our building that we want to take down. It's our site. It's a one-story office building. It has been, I think the easiest way to describe it is it's a blight on the street. It has been vacant for a number of years.
it really offers nothing to the street, even when it was occupied. It really doesn't have any. There's no life to this building. So our proposal is to remove this building and then put in our new one, our new tower. So now I'm going to take you through some context. Materials that you're going to find throughout this development area, primarily brick, stucco, there's concrete, glass, metals, and some painted wood as well. So this is the view from Broadway. This is the new Tucson Chamber of Commerce building, Thunder Canyon Brewery, and Cartel. This building here is an eligible building. Over here on the right is a parking lot and their service area. And then these two buildings are considered ineligible. This is the view from Broadway looking south along Herbert. Then here's the Cartel building. There's the Herbert House behind, and our building will occur right in this zone right here. The existing parking lot behind our building. That's the building that's being torn down. This is Cartel. See, they use the sidewalk for their trash pickup. That's pretty much all there is to really say about this piece. On the east side of Herbert Street is a large vacant lot. It's been vacant for a number of years. This is the Cadence apartment building to the north. Looking across the parking lot on our property, looking south is this residential building. It's actually a very tall one-story apartment building. It's got two apartments. And these windows are all clear story windows that wrap around the sides. It's not eligible as a historic or contributing building. On the other side of 12th Street, to the southeast, are these buildings, all contributing buildings from the Armory Park neighborhood. And just to the west of them is the Herbert House. So that's also on the other side of 12th Street. So this is Herbert at 12th Street. And our building is going to rise up behind this building here, right there. This is a nice little house in the corner of 12th and Herbert. Pretty typical Tucson home. These are the apartment houses that are on the south side of our building. All one story. There's four units in this particular part of the building. They sit back about, I'll just say 10 feet from the property line. This is another one on the corner of 12th and 5th, looking south towards the Herbert. It's the same house. It's behind a tall CMU stuck on the wall. And then this is the building that's immediately adjacent to our property. It's being renovated right now for an office. And it has the second story that was added as a mechanical space. And somewhere along the line, they popped a bunch of windows into it as well, including windows that are on the north side of the building. There's a large glass block window on the north side of this building as well. This building sits about 2 feet off our property line. And this is the view down, or up, I should say, Fifth Avenue. It's a very cool street. It's a very urban street. It's got a lot of variety. Architecture is varied. The history of the buildings is varied. It's a really nice, typical urban street, nice landscaping, particularly on this side of the street. Our project will occur at this location right there. So on the other side of our street across Fifth Avenue, we have an event center at the south end. Both of these are part of that event center. This building, this is the only window if you don't count the side light next to the front door. It's just a stucco building. This has this is an eligible building. It's an interesting, probably originally a residential building. Very, very classy look.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah. This is a three-story apartment building across from our project site on Fifth Avenue. It's a nice contemporary building, really well maintained. It's all stucco. There's an office addition on, or portion on this side. On the right side there is a neat, small, one-story, I wouldn't say it's mid-20th century office building. Don't have too many pictures of it because this tree sits right in front of it. You can really only see the tree, but you can kind of see it's a nice, simple stucco building. This is a certified historic building. This is the Julie and Drew building right on the corner of Broadway and Fifth. This is the parking lot to the north of our site. Our site starts at that wall. This is the building that's being taken down. This is service and parking for the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. So this is the view looking down Fifth Avenue. So again, that's the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. This is their parking lot here. This is our building site right here that we will be taking down. So before we go to the next one, I'm going to turn this around to show you what this view is with our building in place. So here again is the Chamber of Commerce, parking lot, and then our building. Our building takes in a lot of the materials that you find in the area plan, the plan area. We've got metal panels. This is very similar to what you see right now on City Park. Concrete, stucco. It's really EIFS. I'm just going to call it stucco because it's easier to say and explain. We have masonry block, concrete with masonry. Concrete masonry, interval color. The EIFS is also interval color. Lots of glazing. We have balconies on all the sides, which you'll see in the other in future pictures. We've got glass balustrades on the upper balconies and cables on the lower balconies. So we can do what before. So this is our landscape plan. I'm going to spend some time on this because it's really the best site plan that I've got. This is the ground floor of our building, facing Fifth Avenue. The building actually extends out on the upper floors, so this lower level is set back off the street. It undulates, it differentiates, it articulates. I'm trying to find the right word, but it does more than just be a wall. It's well landscaped all along the length. We're providing 10 street trees. Versus the 7 that are currently there. And it meets the city's drought tolerant plant list. The landscape areas furthest from the buildings will all have passive water harvesting, which will be recessed 6 inches there. Sidewalk is concrete with pavers. Pavers will define entrance to the building. We'll have street furniture, benches, trash cans, and short-term bicycle parking. This area right here is a parallel parking area for 24-hour, 15-minute rideshare parking. It'll also be a loading zone for the building. So when UPS, Amazon, or FedEx come in, they'll be able to bring their packages over, and there will be lockers in this zone here behind this screen wall area. There will be a vertical screen along here that will have vines growing on it, so the views from the building will be screened to that parking lot to the north of us. parking area in the back is fully screened from Fifth Avenue by the building itself. The parking lot is covered with permeable pavers. This line here represents the building, so the building is going to cover a majority of the parking lot. The north parking space is only in carports, covered carports. On this side of the building, of the lot, we have our service area, we have a stair, trash, transformer, and our 3-inch water meter enclosures here. All of these will have screens that you can see through. Safe by design for us is that you can see through on both sides, but it is screened, so it's not like a full-out view into the place. So it was mentioned before that the individual parking plan was approved to allow for the 50 parking spaces. Let's go to the next slide. So this is the view from the northwest corner of the building. This is going to be what the street scene will be, or the streetscape will be along Fifth Avenue. We have a floor with high windows that will allow uninterrupted really views into the building. So people in the building will be able to see out, people on the street will be able to see in. So the life of this sidewalk is going to have quite a bit of dimension to it. And the colors that will be chosen inside the building will be experienced on the outside.
Is that a lobby space?
This is a resident lounge area. And an entrance lobby for the residents, and then on the other end is the sales office. And this height, window height, will extend the entire way down. Lighting from the building will light the sidewalk. You can see we have amenity furniture that I'll show you some pictures of in a second here. This wall is what screens the lockers for Amazon and UPS. Okay. So we'll have benches. Keep going pretty fast. This will be for the bicycle parking, the short term, and trash cans. So one of our modification requests was to eliminate the 10-foot landscape border that is typically required along the streets. In order to do that, we are to provide shading on the sidewalk. We have 63% shading on both the Herbert and the Fifth Avenue sidewalks. We also did this shading study just to see what it was like at different times of the same day. This is at 9:30. The shadow is barely getting across the street. At noon, it's almost straight down. And at 3:30, it's just getting across the street over on this side. So these are some images now of our elevations. This is on the east side of our building, which I guess we can call the back side of our building. This is a perforated B-deck panel system that's running up the side here. I'll show you in a little bit that it allows visibility into the stair. This is a steel stair running to the top of the building. We have metal panels, we have EFIS, of course the glazing. Down at the bottom we have our screens. I'm going to be showing you what the material is later. We have the coiled gates for accessing to the parking garage, and we have a sliding gate at this end over here for people exiting the site. The long-term bicycle parking is in a structure at this end, and we have, I'll show you some safe by design concepts we have for that project, which include vision panels in both ends, and all the doors are operated by key fob. So this shows the perforated metal panels. The
This is similar to what was used on the TP parking garage. So you have some visibility in, so you can see what's happening beyond. This is a trash chute that comes down to an enclosed trash area. And I believe that's really all I really need to show you on that. So this is the north side building. This is the actual elevation behind the Tucson Chamber of Commerce building with Cartel and Thunder Canyon. Those buildings come up about this high. So what we have are a variety of ins and outs. All of the windows are set back. So every window in this building is going to be set back with a covering for shading. Balconies are going to shade the windows. We've got, for energy savings, we have 30% glazing over the entire building. This is, again, the perforated metal. So you'll see in the next slide, you can also see through that. This is metal siding, similar to what you see in City Park. Of course, the glazing. This structure here is our long-term parking. That comes right up against the backside of the Chamber of Commerce building. So in this view, you can still see that from Broadway, there is some visibility into this stair. We did that as a safe by design concept. The south elevation is very similar, except the stair tower is going to be the integral color masonry. Now, one thing on this side is we show a 4-foot wall against the neighbors to the south. We are actually going to make that 6 feet from the neighbor side. So their screen will not be 4 feet, it'll be a six foot screen facing our project. This is the west elevation. Had a roof deck on the lower portion of the building here. As mentioned, this is our setback, our IID setback from the contributing properties to the south. This property is technically not residential. However, the city asked us to respect the scale change, so we followed the requirements as if that were a residential property. We have the roof deck here, and this is the sales office and computer center, and I'll be showing you another slide of that. This is a poured concrete elevator, the stair tower, metal panels, glazing, and a tall first floor. Very, very wonderful space to walk by. It'll be a lot of life on the street. So this is the roof deck, which will have three barbecue grills. It'll be underneath a short arbor. The surface will be paved with pavers. And this is a two-story sales office, and I'll show you in the next slide. It's a little easier to see. So this is the sales office right here, and we have a mezzanine for the computer center for the residents. This is the roof deck up here. This is our generator and fire pump portion of the building back here. The generator will have an exhaust that blasts to the north. It won't come out the east or the south, so it won't affect the neighbors. And it will have a hospital grade muffler. Okay, so here, these are just plans. Again, here's our building with our resident lounge and entrance lobby, elevator lobby, sales office here. This is our bike storage area, our long-term bike storage area. And I'll show you the next slide that we'll be using same vision panel that we're using on Herbert Avenue to provide visibility into the parking area
and then for the parking area also into the long-term bike storage. And both doors at either end of this will have glazed panels in this building. This is the material we're planning. This is what's going to go in that window area that you saw. And this will also be used for fencing on the backside, on the Herbert side of the building. Second floor showing access to the computer station here and the beginning of our tenant floors. Next one is just showing access to the roof deck, and the next one's a typical upper floor. So the primary modifications that I listed were parking, which we got the individual parking plan approval for. Now for bike parking, we have more short-term bike parking than what's required, which required is 7, we're providing 12. And for long-term bike parking, we're required 36, 48 inside that building. And as everybody tells you, you can also bring them up to the apartments. There's another 96 possibilities up above. Solid waste, we're providing the roll-out compactors, and that was approved on the development plan. And we're providing shade on the sidewalks so that we can get a modification for not having a 10-foot buffer guard. Mr. Tom reviewed this as the design professional, and according to the report that I received, he shows that we comply with all the code sections that he reviewed. And he had no comments or suggestions that I'm aware of.
We're going to find out soon.
We will find out soon. So that's the end of my presentation.
Okay. Before we go to questions, let's go to A and get his findings.
Well, we thought this was a project that was very well done, and it was a good presentation as well. We reviewed it, and we didn't see anything that was critical, so we approved it.
Okay, open up the committee, the floor to the committee.
Quick questions. Should we have any comments from J.D. Brown?
Sure.
Historic, if she has any comments because of plans review split that we should know about.
So we went to plans review on October 10th. We had issues with the quorum, so we really only had four people there. And it was split. There was concerns that they weren't really compatible with the surrounding historic buildings that were in place. Should note that this building, the proposed location of this building, it's outside of the Armory Park National Register District and the Armory Park Historic Preservation Zone, which are two different boundaries. It's also outside of the pending downtown historic district. But there were definitely concerns about the lack of compatibility. They were concerned about the height, the transition from the lower to the high-rise, not really high-rise, but mid-rise, I guess, and just some of the materials and stuff like that.
Thank you, Jody. Any questions for Jody? Okay. Back to comments, questions.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the lighting in the towers with the perforated V-deck?
Lighting.
The stair lighting.
Yeah, the lighting. I forgot to do this, but Victor Bolduc is also here from SPBL. He's been very much more involved with the building design than I have been, so I will answer as much as I can, but I'm going to give him permission to jump in and tell me what I'm saying. Lighting is concealed within the stair tower. It won't be. It'll provide general lighting for the stair, but it's not a fixture that you're going to see from the outside.
That's okay. Is your concern the east tower or the west tower?
You know, my concern is that technically, because it's undercover, it doesn't really need to comply with dark sky. But our kind of anecdotal experience or observations in those conditions when it's similar is that it can be quite glary. And that's both a concern from the dark sky, not from the code compliance aspect, but just from the spirit of the requirement. And then also just, you know, nuisance kind of glare from the surrounding neighborhood. So I was just wanting to confirm some thought had been given to the lighting inside the stair tower, since there is that ability. I think it's just a subtlety of looking at the fixture selection, I think, to maybe consider that it meet the dark sky requirement, even though it's not technically in a place that it would need to.
It's currently a 4-foot LED fixture mounted to the bottom side of the landings. So we get the 1-foot candle requirement for code, but it's not meant to, like the east tower, east stairway is basically emergency exit only. And for the residents to travel between floors, if they need to talk to a friend or something like that, versus using the west tower. West tower is totally enclosed. We have the same light fixtures at the landings. And we're hoping to make that glow a little bit more so that our dancing dot windows will add some interest to the building in the evening.
Thank you.
But they're down lights instead of the spread things, so they get the shield factor.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. That clarifies my concerns. And then my other question was, Thank you. I'm assuming it's a diesel generator, is that correct?
No, it's a natural gas generator. So we won't have those smells.
Thank you.
Sure. I have a few comments. It looks like, but I just wanted confirmation, that there are downward soffit lights along Fifth Avenue underneath the setback of the with the overhanging eaves. Is that correct?
We actually have no exterior soffit lighting. All the lights will come from the interior of the building and shine through the glass. All the LED 4x4 type fixtures.
Yeah, look like fixtures on the development package underneath the soffit. Okay. So will those be 24-hour lighting to provide ambient light on the street, since there aren't street lights on that side?
Well, right now we're looking at a dimming system, so at different times of the day, maybe from the residents, from let's say 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock, have a certain brightness. And then after 11 o'clock, the brightness will be dimmed down in the resident lobby. And really, the sales office, it's not going to operate beyond 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
And just a little concerned, because if there's not any actual street lighting in the right of way on that particular side, that all the other hours when people are going home from the bars, if it's dark, if some outside light could be provided, downlights or something like that along the street level, so that there is at least some ambient lighting in front, I would encourage that.
Okay. Yes, we can do that.
I'm really pleased you're doing 6 feet, because that was one of my comments. The 4 feet's not enough on the south side then. So I assume, since it's part of the discussion but not in the plans, we should put that in any motion we make.
I think you're going to need to do that.
Okay. Why did you go from wire cable to glass balconies at level 5 only on the north and south, but not the east and west? And why any cables at all instead of all glass?
Well, we were looking at having some variety. So that gives some variety to the architecture with the cables. One of our thoughts was, if we went all cable, and we're doing 2 3/4 inches between the cables, so they can't be spread more than 4 inches apart for safety. That once you get up into these higher floors, cables might feel a little more uncomfortable for people who are sitting on the balconies, whereas glass might feel a little bit more protective. I know when I was doing my walkthroughs at City Park, they had cables on the 5th floor, and I just couldn't walk to the edge of the building. So. That was our thinking there. Down here, that'd be more comfortable. But doing this, we really mix up the style.
Okay. On the roof deck patio, it's only this east wall that's 5 feet. The rest of it's the 3 foot height of the roof height's 23 something, and then there's the parapet above the solid parapet
yeah,
above
this
that.
Is,
so it's
this
about,
wall on the south side is the only one that goes up that high.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Comes up against the stair tower. So.
Okay. I looked over all the comments. You've got an agreement to just chip seal, Herbert, since
for now.
Instead of repaving until a redevelopment happens for the
when
old.
When the east side gets redeveloped, they'll just tear up that street.
Yeah, because that street's yet to be determined. The earlier Peach plan for the area suggested doing partial one-way, two-way on that street, but that didn't move forward, so we don't know what the next one is, but that's a neighborhood desire.
That has changed since the submittal. I mean, we have a public improvement plan. We are removing the asphalt and the base and totally repaving Harvard Avenue from 12th Avenue to Broadway.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's going to look
closer from 12th Street.
Thank you.
I don't think we're also going to afford it from 12th Avenue.
Neighborhood would be happy. This is a stupid pet peeve from an unrelated thing, but Fifth Avenue does that have the two down globe lights, and I know there's an extra one that Ross owns. Is there any way to possibly put it on this project to get some light?
I'm happy to donate it to the city.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask. I saw the material sheet, but I'm still having a hard time with what's it called, the perforated B deck. Is it vertical?
Yeah.
With holes punched down?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not sure, is it oxidized? Is it painted black?
It's a galvanized finish.
So it's actually shiny instead of
It won't be shiny. It'll be kind of raw. It's kind of like galvanized pipe you might see in your house.
So kind of a dull lead color. I was just...
Yeah, there won't be anything
because it's basically dark on the elevation, so I wasn't quite sure. Okay. Has TDOT approved the loading zone and the other stuff? I couldn't tell from the comments. And the drop-off and the bicycle parking in the TRD. Well,
bicycle parking meets code. I don't know about the...
I just thought I'd ask. I assume they worked that out and it's beyond us.
Yeah, do you know where we are on the right?
Well, we have their approval on the DP.
Okay.
With no comments, so.
And Environmental Services has approved the compactor?
Yes, they have.
Okay.
Second rounds.
I think I hit that one. I would recommend you revise the passive versus active since it's all new landscaping. The first couple of years you're going to need to water. If you could do some sort of watering under the Fifth Avenue sidewalk to the new plants under the trees at the curb line.
Everything is going to be...
It's on all
irrigation. Everything is irrigated. It's just the water harvesting is passive.
In addition to being irrigated? Okay, then it's not a comment.
The parking lot in the back is permeable as well. So.
Okay. Let's see. The wall to the north as you enter the bike stables, what is it, 11 something? 11, 8? That brick wall to the on the north elevation? It's a little hard to tell because everything's so tiny. That wall. The height of wall for
this wall?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the wall for the wall of the long-term bicycle parking.
Okay.
That's going to be completely hidden behind the...
But it's lower than the adjoining building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the adjoining building comes up to about this tall.
And the other thing I couldn't figure out is, what is the height of the metal fencing you see the pedestrians below them? Is it 8? Is it 10? And it's also the fencing that's along Herbert Avenue.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what's
the
height?
That's the existing fencing. It's about 8 feet. Isn't that existing?
We're putting up the trellis.
We're going to be putting up another trellis, but I thought she was illustrating the existing one there.
Okay. How high is it along her? I couldn't tell.
8 feet?
8 feet.
It's eight feet.
With
okay.
Their eyes.
And are you using the visible stuff vertical or horizontal?
Horizontal.
Horizontal. Okay. I think that's my question. I know plans review is a little concerned because of they were looking at first and second floor levels, but I really think that your indentation suggests a more streetscape inclusivity, and because of all the other modern buildings and very few actual historic bright on Fifth Avenue in that street, I don't have a problem with it, so no, I'm fine.
I think I missed, can you review the heating and cooling for this building?
I'm going to ask Victor to do that.
Yes, they're split systems, so you have a fan coil inside each apartment with the condensing units. Yes, we have approximately 125 condensing units up on the roof. I brought a plan, should you care to see. They're on pads, on galvanized sheet metal pads, so they're well built for longevity.
And who do you think the tenants are going to be in the building? Are you building it for any, nobody specific, just the studios?
Market rate mix, like most of the properties down there, just anything from people that are working to millennials, that seems to be the unit mix in that Eastern Entertainment District.
And maybe this is a question for staff. When you, because I don't know this, when you do the individual parking plans that come and they've always been decided before they come to us, how is that decided? What's the criteria for the reduction in the parking?
So there's a number of criteria, and I would say one of the biggest criteria for us is proximity to transit. So individual parking plan, there's a couple ways to qualify for it. First of all, any project in the infill incentive district qualifies, but outside of the infill incentive district, it's actually one of the major criteria is proximity transit. So here, of course, they are right on the streetcar line, so that was one of the big factors in the reduction in parking. But it also could be, you know, what other modes that the property developer or property manager expects people to use. So it could be that we make our decision partly based on provision of bike parking or proximity to bike share station, things like that. So we kind of look at their whole approach to transportation and location within our transportation network overall.
Thank you.
And we do review those with the Department of Transportation. They review all of those with Planning and Development Services.
I just had a clarification. If we were to approve it as amended, maybe this is a condition, does that mean we automatically approve the IPP, or do we need to call it out, and do we need to call out the PAL reduction?
So the individual parking plan, it's actually kind of a separate approval that's approved by the Director of Planning and Development Services. The IID DRC is always welcome to make comments and recommendations related to that, but it is a separate approval that doesn't go to a public review body.
So we can say we concur.
Yes, you could do that.
And and on the PAL?
The PAL is a modification that is requested by the applicant through the infill incentive district. So yeah, that's absolutely within your purview to recommend
something. But you need to comment if we say as presented.
You don't need to comment on those technical modifications. You can, that is within your purview, but you don't need to.
Okay.
You don't need to comment on those three items individually that Maria went over earlier.
I have a few comments. Thomas, I like the design. Parking, I don't, how are the spaces allocated? I mean, you have 96 units, and you have, I think, 51 spaces. And so how are those allocated?
I can answer that. Okay. So the parking spaces, the whole project is really designed to not encourage having a vehicle. So, but there are available, so through the lease process is you don't automatically get a car space because a studio, most people who have a studio more than likely don't have a car, so they're gonna use the transit systems of bikes and or whatever else, like that's, we're hoping that's a Uber, Lyft, drop-off in the front to encourage that type of activity. So, but if they want a parking space, I'm not going to speak for Ross, but I'm sure they're going to pay dearly for it. But their key fob for their apartment will be activated, which will allow them to get into the parking area and to exit the parking area. But that's how it will be policed.
And then it would be separate from their lease. It would be a separate lease for a parking space.
That's correct. Okay. If you don't pay for your parking space, automatically staff can just hit a button. The fob no longer works to get into the parking area.
Well, I hope that you have a lot of extra parking. But in the event you don't, I would like to see arrangements with your tenants, that they would provide parking. They would provide a lease to you. And to ensure that one of the comments I heard about from the neighborhood was the issue of parking in the neighborhood. And it's close enough to Army Park that it'd be nice if 50 spots are not enough, that your tenants require to find a parking space and lease that, provide that information to you that they got that space, that they're not parking in a residential neighborhood where much of the parking is on the street. And so I think that that's be a responsible thing for you as a developer to require from your tenants to do that. And I hope 51 spaces are plenty. And they don't ever have to do that. Victor, for you, you talked about your compressors are on the roof.
Yes.
Condensers, excuse me. Is there any way that a structure in the future, if the owner, Russ or whoever it might be, could decide to put solar up there, would that infringe any issue on the condensers?
By the time you put the service clearances around these equipment pads, there is no roof area left.
Okay. On the roof top deck on top of the two-story, how is it screened from the area to the south in terms of?
Well, we have a tall wall along the south side, so they can't see over the wall.
So the roof, the people on the roof deck can't look over?
Yes.
Okay. And are there hours on that roof deck?
That I don't know. Okay. That could be a management.
Most likely will be.
Okay. And as we talked about a previous project, we've seen issues in projects, and I'm not saying this is student housing, but you'll rent to students. Will there be a behavioral management plan and a safety plan just to ensure that people live there and people who are passing on the street have some safety, whether it's issues from the balconies, things being dropped, thrown, whatever. So
I don't self-manage anything. It's all done through Scotia Management, and they are very responsible. Their leases have all kinds of clauses on behavior and noise and all kinds of things.
No, just a reference to that in the written submittal to you, Chris, is that that specifically noted that that would be part of the lease arrangement, the behavioral plan.
Yeah.
It was in your submittal, is all I'm saying. Just so you all know, I read it.
Yes. And so there's really no public real engagement on the street level on Fifth Avenue. It's visual. And so it's really, in a way, a gated community. I mean, in a sense that, so there's not any engagement from the outside other than visual, which is an important one. But, and people come in and going, but there's not really public space other than the band that's on the sidewalk in terms of open space for public use, which concerns me a little bit. We've seen more engagement in other projects on the ground floor.
There will be with the property across the street, and that's why we're going to put in a common fitness center for use by both projects on the east end of the carriage house, the Fifth Avenue Center.
Got too many notes. Thomas, is there any issue you see? You talked about 30% glass. is there any issue in glare or heat radiation on the south side or east or west?
Yeah, it would be designed to not have glare. It will be designed correctly so that it doesn't bump ahead any glare.
I just am wanting to see that as we get denser that we have a livable city as opposed to what's happened in Phoenix and other cities.
If I understood correctly, that was the side that has the setback glass, though, on every level?
Yeah. Glass is setback 5 feet. Now it's 5 feet deep. So the glass is all setback 5 feet. I'll look at both the north and the south side is the most interesting.
So kind of another level of shading that would help mitigate that, I think, Chris.
And the north side is not going to be an issue at all. Okay. I think that's it for me. One other thing, I'm just curious, is there any guidance in terms of, like, the buildings to the north of this will be shaded by this building in terms of their solar egress? Is there, if they choose to do solar, is there anything?
Well, like our some study showed that at noon, there wasn't that much on that building, actually.
Right.
It would be early in the morning, but there would be some.
Some in the winter and spring months.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But, yeah. Okay.
I think that's it for me.
Before I make a motion, did you want to put any actual conditions on the parking in the motion?
I would. I would like that if they exceed their on-site parking, that they require their tenants to have a lease to park in an area garage.
Does this area have residential permit parking?
Yes.
I'm not actually sure.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. So is that a way they could qualify by signing up for the city's residential permit parking program?
Where would that take?
I'm not sure. That would be a conversation with Donovan Durbin because I don't think they generally lease spaces away from residency past a block.
But isn't the
neighborhood permitted parking?
It is.
That's what I'm asking. I'm not actually sure.
In other words, if the neighborhood is permitted parking, then
right, you can't park overnight.
Can't park there.
Right.
It's a police already.
Yeah.
Well, but it's also whether the whole neighborhood is or block by block. Some neighborhoods only do one face or two faces of a block, and other two faces are not.
Their own choice, correct?
So
partially, yeah.
We can check with TDOT about the exact boundary for that residential permit.
It's block by block in Armory Park, and it is slowly moving southward as the need arises and people can no longer park, but it only goes truly down to 13th. We had a lot of other problems with the harbor because it was built without required parking but was grandfathered for it. And so they put in metered parking on 12th and 13th to accommodate that with individual passes that were made available, but that was a very complicated issue and I couldn't get into the details with you of how Parkwise determines those spaces can be for tenants. And they're probably maxed out now. I would think that the lease would be more likely residents would need to get a space in a area parking garage rather than street parking.
That could be contingent, if we want to, that on Parkwise.
So we can certainly discuss this with Parkwise. On a public street that does not have residential permit, I don't think we can stop someone from parking their car overnight, but we can find out what the enforcement is in Armory Park and look into options. I think if somebody is a resident in that neighborhood, they would.
Then I think it might be better if we say that that tenants who cannot access spaces on site will be made aware of options and approval by city staff for the choice of plan they use. Because
I think what we did with other buildings, we didn't make it an obligation of the owner of the building to provide them. We told the owner of the building that they had to make available to the tenant other options for parking if they didn't have a space within here. So what are the garages that are close by? this permit system, mm-hmm. but I don't think we've made it an obligation of the owner to
and then
to
they find could be, them you know, transit vouchers as well, which they may decide is cheapest and might be a viable
right.
option.
There were
so there's a lot of different ways to accommodate that potential overage without specifying it, and I'm kind of leery to do that.
Well, and
I think it's a logistical issue, not just for the building owner, but actually for anyone who leases it on the city side.
Yeah, and I don't think we've done it in the past.
Well, we haven't had a project that's right on the edge of a neighborhood, and so that's one of the issues. Most of the things have been further in the
town. How about if we say that they have to provide adequate resources to address insufficient parking if the need arises?
I think that would be acceptable. And that way we can find if it's parked Tucson or how it's going to be addressed.
I don't even understand what that means.
Yeah.
Is that providing information to the tenants about available public parking garages in the area?
Yeah, that's what we're talking
where they
about.
Could lease by the month or whatever terms?
Sure.
More transit passes?
And where, and clearer, some people may be coming from out of town, so where they can't park as well.
Okay. You know,
a path to how to address it rather than a specificity.
It's just, it is an issue for residential neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and so and it's hard for them to get changes.
They'll be residents.
But yes, they will be.
They'll be living here. I'm just saying, I mean,
it is.
Part of the densification and, you know, the choices that the existing neighborhoods make about permit parking or filling in their on-site parking with expansions to their residences so they don't have any on-site parking for themselves also needs to be considered, I think, in a sense of fairness. So I hear what you're saying. I totally do. But I also think that adding, you know, management operational requirements, I just don't know who's going to police those. Over time, and we're talking about long time development. So another way to look at it and is to provide that information, but also the whole idea of the market, if I understand this correctly, is to people who are, by statistics across many growing metropolitan areas, are not utilizing automobiles the way that we do. I think that's something that we need to acknowledge in our evaluation of a building, a development like this.
I don't use them the way that I used to, and because I walk and bike a lot.
Right.
But I also understand that a lot of people who come from out of town often bring a car, and if you want to get to a supermarket right now,
noted. Yeah.
You need a car.
I just resist the operational part. I think that is really challenging, and I agree with Bill that we haven't done that before. So I think the information is important. I mean, I think existing requirements that are spread across the neighborhood are important to acknowledge, and either the permitting or metering the street is always an option. But I'm leery about the operational components.
Well, then maybe we can go back to what was proposed on the last project for social residences, mm-hmm. that they provide tenants with area parking garages where people can lease spaces.
Yeah, I'm fine with the information on that because these are one bedrooms. If they were all four bedroom apartments with a lot of students, I'd be really concerned.
Half the studios.
But it's I think it's a different demographic that might hopefully be more responsible. So
I think what Robin said is important. The tenant's going to make the decision if they want to live in this high density area with less parking available, and it'll be up to them. And somewhere down the line, the city will have to take into consideration whether they need to provide additional off parking for all these residential units that are coming into the downtown sector.
They won't until they acknowledge that there's no more parking available.
As soon as we raise the
or
city council member salary,
I'm thinking that's a good idea. I'm going to go talk about that. I think we've got lots of spaces in the MLK garage. Just down the street from this, I think that's pretty vacant overnight, actually. So, right. I think there would be options. Yeah. So that's a good option for people in this building potentially.
Sorry. Okay. Any more comments, questions? Is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the 111 through 127 South Fifth Avenue project. Has presented with two conditions. One, the south wall be raised from 4 feet to 6 feet.
along the property line, and that some form of ambient pedestrian lighting be provided on Fifth Avenue in addition to interior lighting to add a continuity to the street lighting experience, because there's no street lights provided on that side.
Second.
And would you consider an amendment?
And we'll add the, no, I'll go ahead and add it, and add an amendment that requires the owner development management company to provide information for parking alternatives or transit passes if or have conversations with the neighborhood if parking in the future becomes insufficient.
Okay. So seconded.
Okay. There are no other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 4-0.
We can let them know if they join the Neighborhood Association too.
Call the audience is next on the agenda. Do you have 3 minutes?
It's a nice presentation, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you. Thanks, Doctor.
I'm
in touch with you.
Okay. Oh, I wanted to ask. So, is it 1 week before we hear something, or
you're going to
talk to me? She's kicking me out. Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Victor.
Thanks, Victor. Well, I'm part of the audience. I'll just say that the city market or city park has been altered from being ground floor food court, second floor entertainment, to all office space now.
I just asked Thomas about that, and it is indeed the second floor, no bowling alley, but there will be a food court on the first floor.
And the announcement I saw from Real Labor Board was all 4 floors.
Our understanding is they're still pursuing a food option for the first floor.
Well, good.
I asked.
But you're right that the second floor is offices.
Okay. Hexagon. Yeah. It's. I just clarified with him because I was concerned when I read the room label. He said it's second floor, no bowling alley. But
so they said they have the Penn Centers, but.
You won't have the Penn Centers, but the first floor will be publicly accessible food court or some sort of.
Because that was not clear in their announcement.
It never is.
Yeah.
No. You know, Brandy doesn't always type what Fletcher's thinking.
I have a question. Call the audience. Where does our recommendation go, and who acts on our recommendation?
So, good question. The recommendations all go to the director, Scott Clark. We usually document the committee's recommendations. Usually, we would, if there's some sort of recommendation that needs another department to weigh in, like sometimes we need to consult with TDOT or Environmental Services, we might do that and get that information before we take it to Scott in the form of a proposed decision letter and have a discussion. And then, you know, based on our discussion with Scott, with other departments, Scott signs a letter of decision. So just as an example, just 10 days ago, 9 days ago, you guys voted on Lewis Hotel Lofts. And so we have done a little research on the compactors, for example. That was one of the things the committee recommended. That's going to be challenging. So that's not going to be a binding condition, but we documented that recommendation from the committee in the letter. So that's kind of the example of something where we go talk to Environmental Services and the applicant based on this committee. Another thing, though, the director can put additional conditions that maybe don't even come from this committee, but are often maybe come from discussion that you have. So one item that was not actually in your formal motion but was noted last time was the tree in front of the building that needed to be replaced, and that likely will be a condition of the approval. We're trying to figure out right now who really controls the tree. But so
it's not a healthy tree.
Yeah, so sometimes we actually add things in as conditions.
We'd like the new trees.
Okay, great. We figured to be on board with that. So
Russ said he would actually
not be compliant if he did.
Yeah, so we're kind of working on that with TDOT right now because it's in the right of way. So
as development chair of Armory Park, I like the tree and replacement trees. The trees on that side are crap. They haven't been
relevant. Yeah, so sometimes, you know, things might shift a little bit, but we definitely take everything we hear as these in these discussions back to the director.
So you don't have like a little fireplace and a chimney and put the papers in there if it's white? He says yes.
And exactly. That would be so much more fun.
It would be.
We should work on that. With all this renovation, we could probably work in a little special secret
area. They do that since they can't shred them anymore.
Yeah.
We're trying to go paperless.
Yes. That's why we have these.
We're not in Vatican City, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually have to leave to get to
I have
six.
One quick comment. I attended the PRS meeting, and I, in addition to not feeling the contextual stuff because it wasn't provided, I think the reason that they voted 2-2, my perception was, is that they had seen the project so late that they couldn't have commented, and so they wanted a better integration of the first and second with what they saw as the streetscape. So I understand the limitations in this particular thing, but I would state that the prior practice of bringing in courtesy reviews early enough to get necessary or helpful feedback should again be a policy direction for these complex problems so people don't just get blindsided when they walk in for a formal review. And I wanted
to... Yep. And I think that actually one of the reasons I like this project is because it doesn't look like Arvin Park. But it has details that have the same kind of, that gives the quality to a building, but it's contemporary. And Arvin Park was contemporary when it was built. So
there's only two reasonable contributing buildings on that street.
Future agenda items?
Yeah, sure. So the partners on 4th will be coming back to you all on November, is it 5th? Yes, so November 5th. As well as a courtesy review, probably, we're still working with the applicant on this, from the 375 South Stone project. They were hoping to get on the plans review subcommittee agenda today, and they didn't have a quorum, so they're ready to present to somebody. So we're going to probably tack them onto your next agenda as a courtesy review.
As a courtesy, okay.
Yeah.
That'd probably be best because it's theoretically already scheduled for mayor and council on the 6th, the following day.
The rezoning?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just the FYI.
Right.
Okay.
And just a reminder, there's no meeting next week.
Wow.
October 30th, that has been canceled.
Are you providing lunch and dinner for the next meeting, though? Because that could go really long.
I'll bring it up.
Okay. Could we get three different confusing emails from you, Nick, and Corrine confirming that? With different hours and states.
I know.
Okay, well, great.
So no meeting next week until the 5th.
Good.
Chris, okay. Can I add something real quick?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I've been asked to join the committee, and I've been accepted, I guess,
a few more minutes for
confirmed today. But I also asked staff to consider reaching out to Jennifer. I have done many IID projects, and I know some are coming up. I think 375 is one of them. This was one. And so I was like, look, I don't know how often I can actually attend and be an actual board member. And I said we'd play and see how it kind of goes. But just a lack of landscape architects within the city of Tucson, that live within the city of Tucson, appears to be a problem.
Yes.
Right now.
You can refuse per item rather than a whole meeting.
Correct, yeah. She came for one meeting, and then the next meeting, before the next meeting, resigned. And so I asked staff to reach back out to her and say, hey, look, I mean, I think it's going to be an ongoing problem. So,
well, I was saying
she let us know that she thought the IID DRC may meet just about 5 times a year. I'm not sure where she got the information from, but it used to be.
Yeah. Sometimes it's 8 months, and then there's 27.
So when she saw the agendas, you know, that are taking place this year, then she realized she cannot make a commitment.
Well, I would think the status of being on this committee far outweighs a paying job.
Theoretically,
well, you got to make a living.
There could be an alternate landscaper, so one or the other could attend the meeting.
That was my recommendation, to see about trying to get... And you may see if, I don't know if you can sit on two boards at one time, but I know Chris Deeby's on the design review board.
It's who they're appointed by the boards. So if it's city manager or mayor and council.
Mayor and council, two boards. City manager.
One.
Is it still only city one? one city manager? I don't think there's
any. My knowledge, I don't know, but I just don't impress me literally that there's very few landscape architects that live within the city of Tucson limits. So that's because almost every time I reach out to someone, I don't live there anymore. I don't live in the city of Tucson.
Yeah, we've been trying hard. And that's not just for this committee, it's across the board.
Yes.
You know, all the different boards and committees, we are needing volunteers to serve.
I'm in by a block, so that's, you know.
The mayor and council amended for city boards in June this year. So it's two.
Okay, that's it. Meeting adjourned.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you coming.
Nice to see you. Nice.